understanding the cost of liberty, especially in Christ. Once you reach the full ramifications of what happened on the cross for you to live free in Him. Not free in bondage, not free in fear, but free in Him. And the Lord always reminds me when I preach a message like this, the price that is paid for each and every entity that has become free in life. You know, the Gettysburg, when they fought for the Civil War. And I was reading about 750,000 people lost their lives, you know. That was a debt that happened that was big and a big price for us to be united as one. I think about Martin Luther King. I think about Abraham Lincoln. I think about there's so many different people that have lost their life so we can have life. It's in the natural. Even if you look at the seed, a seed have to go into the ground and what? Die. And then something brings forth fruit, amen? And then I started thinking about Gandhi. I started thinking about the South African leaders and all these. I said, man, every area where life comes after, there's always a death. Then I started thinking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, what His death did for us, set us free spiritually, set us free physically.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the scripture that I read this morning. For since the death came through a man, who was that man, y'all? Jesus. The resurrection of dead comes from also through that man. I'm sorry. For since death came through a man, that's talking about Adam. The resurrection of dead comes also through a man. But as in Adam, all die, we all die. This flesh is going to die because of Adam. Amen. So in Christ, all will be made alive. So when He trade, we sing that song, I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my... Listen, man, do y'all understand what happened at the cross to set us free? He gave His life so that we might have life. And this is like I was telling our prayer team this morning, you can't charge that again. Because that would be double jeopardy. That means is you can't say, okay, God, I messed up. I want you to die again. No. That death is once and for all. So that we can live free. Amen. And then some people go, oh, man, Wendell, that's a good illustration. That's true. But then they point to the things in their life that are so beating them down. Look at my bills. This is what's real to me. Look at this. I'm just keeping it 100. Look at this. Look at the situation in my life. How is God going to change this? And God says, listen. He says, put your eyes off of what's true in your life. And place your eyes on the truth. We celebrate Independence Day because the truth is we have been set free. If you think you're going to be free, you're never going to get it.
Come on.
Freedom comes from something that has already been done.
Come on.
All right, yeah.
That's good.
It says, John 8:31, to the Jews who had believed in Him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free. What are His teachings? Mary Magdalene, you are forgiven. Zacchaeus, I'm setting you free. I'm going to your house today, even though I know you stole. Peter, I'm going to love you anyway, even though you lied on me 3 times. John, I know the type of spirit you have, but I love you. You're going to roll with me today. Teachings of Christ is forgiveness. And once you receive His teachings, you receive the truth. No, the truth is my bills are more real than... No. That's true. But those are not the truth. The truth will set you free. Not true will set you free. What's true is I can see through this glass, right? And I can see that wall, right? I'm being transparent. Transparent is you can see through it. And so what we say is, These are true, but that's not the truth.
Facts.
When you apply this to your everyday life, that's when God gets fun. Because you're like, oh, that sounds good in the Bible, but let me tell you about my life a little bit. See, like I said last week, I had a learning disability, and when I was wanting to go to, what's that school, Carpenter or something, and they said, well, we can't accept you. I said, well, why? I got a good grade point average. I'm real bad at tests. I went to school to take ACT tests, and I still couldn't get it up. They said, yeah, but we can't take it because your ACT level is too low. I said, well, I might as well just throw this paper away. But my mom, she filled it out anyway. And I was going off of the true events. The true events is this. They said that if I don't have this, you might as well not send this in. But she responded to the truth and sent it in.
Amen.
And then they called and they said I was accepted. And they said out of the 100 years that they've been open, this is the first year that we're going to do this. We're going to accept you in. And we're going to build a new program for people to have good grades and all this other stuff, but have low test grades. I said, this is not a coincidence.
Lord.
We had an accident in our backyard one time. And the doctors called us and said, this young man is going to be paralyzed or he's going to die in the next couple of hours or whatever. I said, God, I started crying. It was the darkest day of my life. And then my mom, my dad, started praying. And then they called other people praying. And when I was a kid, I was like, why are y'all praying for? Didn't you hear what the doctor said? Do you hear what's true? But the truth is, when they prayed, they got in contact with God. And guess what? That person is still living today. Not because we focus on what's true, but we focus on the truth. What are truths in your life, and what are truth in your life makes all the difference of your life. Which one are you focusing on? All right, y'all ready for some barbecue or something? Because when I think about what God has done for me and the truth that he has set me free from, I just feel like it's going running somewhere. I feel like getting excited somewhere. I feel like rejoicing somewhere because where everything else has failed me, God has not failed me, man. God loves you. But if you don't understand his teachings, then you won't be set free. Why? Because you'll still be looking at your thoughts, and you won't be looking at the truth. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life.
Well, I like to give thanks to the Most High way. If you ain't coming through Jesus, you ain't giving thanks to the Most High.
Because if it don't come through the path of love and truth, which is Jesus, he says, I am the door. I am the way. You ain't getting to God, act like you really getting to God, and you ain't coming through Jesus. You ain't coming through forgiveness.
Man.
You might as well stop talking to me, bro, because he said this. I place his name above every name. He was above Carpenter. He was above that death that's supposed to happen in my backyard. He was above all of that. But if we think we just come in and play at church and you don't apply truth in your life, church will be boring. He can wipe out your bills in 1 second. We play games sometimes. I'm looking at you and I'm looking at you. And I'm saying, man, you know this can be canceled out.
That's good.
In one hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes.
This one that you really mean it, and a sincere heart to say, God, I can't do this. I turn this over to you.
Man.
It was a lady in the Bible. I ain't got time to read the story, but she went to the Lord, and she was a Gentile. It wasn't time for Jesus to talk to the Gentile. And the lady said, can you hear me? And Jesus said, well, you know, it's not time for me to talk to you yet because I shouldn't give, you know, scratch to the dog. And when she was really, he was really meaning that it wasn't time for me to talk to you yet. But he said, but Lord, even the dogs get this.
Crumbs.
The crumbs. And I said, hold on, God, you violated your own rules. You talked to her, you knew it wasn't time. Why is that? You broke the law. Because Jesus said this, I place love above everything else. This is where legalism can't get this. It's against the law if I break this glass into somebody else's property. But if you are dying behind that glass, I will take this piece of metal and I will break it to get to you. Because you were worth dying for. Come on now. And see, we look at the restrictions of our life, the restrictions of finance, the restrictions of our physical body, and we say, but look at this truth. And he says, don't you know who I am? Don't you know my name? I place this above your mistakes. I place this above everything that you've done wrong. I place this above every other name. What name is it that's holding you in bondage today? Place Jesus above that. Worship Jesus above this situation.
Good.
We want to raise money for a band. And I said, you know what? I mean, I thank God for the finances came in for the band. I ain't thinking about that band. But it came, amen. Why? I ain't worshiping the band. I'm worshiping Jesus. And if something comes in my life without worshiping Jesus, I don't want it. I say, I don't want it. Woo!
That's good.
You know, David could have killed Saul. I'm thinking 13 years, bro. Hey, you ain't chasing me for no 13 years. I'm finna get you. He cut his garment 2 times to let him know I could have got you, bro. Blessed is under Jesus' name. That's the reason why we can come and worship. That's the reason why we can come and have an understanding that we're sovereign from the problems of life. Holy means that he's separated from what is in the world. He says he is. He says, I am holy. What does that mean? Okay, this happened to the world, but it ain't going to happen to you. Because you're under me. Come on now.
Hallelujah.
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Here go another passage where this kind of tripped up the people that was coming against Jesus. And this was some Pharisees that was trying to trap Jesus because he was in the synagogue and he actually did some work on the Sabbath. Oh my God, what? You broke the law. But you don't understand. If you don't understand that his top priority is to love your neighbor as thyself, it's to love you, then you won't even understand the law and what it's here for, amen? Okay, it says this in Matthew 12:9. Going on from that place, he went into the synagogue, and a man with the shriveled hand was there, looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus. They asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? He said to them, if any of you has a sheep, come on now, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, you will take hold of it and lift it out. How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? You know, I don't mean to get off. I had some robins that was in my nest and on my front door. And I got reminded by the post office, by my neighbor, by so many different people, don't mess with them robins. Ain't gonna call the police. And I'm not a political type of guy, but I'm like, man, if we treat human life as much as we do these robins, if I hurt these robins, I'm going to jail. I hurt a human egg, I'm free. This world would devalue who you really are. They're teaching you that you're not nothing. And Christ is saying, listen, you're more worth than these animals. I cut some eggs for breakfast this morning. Okay, come on. Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hands. So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the others. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying that you were worth it.
Amen.
You were worth dying for. You are what's valuable. Sometimes we get it tripped up because we get materialized. No, no, if I get this, then I'll be worth it. Money don't bring you value. You bring value to money.
Come on.
You know, we was in the Ozarks with some friends yesterday, and I was looking at these purses, $400, $600.
Oh, my God.
And I'm looking at it, I'm like, ain't no way in the world I ain't paying enough money. But... And sometimes you can start feeling like, man, this is a lot of money, but I'm looking like, I don't care nothing about this. I said, my God, it's more, listen, man, I am what makes the product valuable. The product don't make me valuable. We got to twist it. This is the reason why we're doing dedication for the little kids today. Why? Because we're saying something. We're saying a statement that you are worthy. Even if one of them would just came in today, amen, because a lot of people take vacations and stuff, that you were worth dying for. And we're going to pray for you. We're going to lay hands on these kids. We're going to reach forth and speak into their life, because that's what God is doing in heaven.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I tell you, man, God always is trying to bring value to who you are. But if you miss it, you'll be thinking that I don't have value because I don't have enough money for this. I don't have enough value because I haven't lived in a prominent neighborhood or a prominent this. You are what's prominent. You are what's important. You are what's valuable. Once you get that sense, then value flows out of you. You know, sometimes we think of God as our killjoy. But God is not our killjoy. God is our love. So when he brings us a word, it's always to love us. Never to cut us. I love my mama. I love Keisha. Because you know why I love them? They're not my yes people. They don't tell me just yes on everything. They will correct me if I need correction. Amen. My father will correct me. He like, boy, you need to get some rest today. You kind of look kind of, you know, and they'll be true in my spirit. And I remember when I was a kid, I remember my parents would tell me, don't hang out with these people, and I was 12. And I remember going to my room kind of crying because I couldn't hang out with these people. And they grabbed me and they said, you don't know what we're talking about now, but you will when you get older. And as I've gotten older, I've learned that, you know, about 90% of my friends are either in jail or dead. And now as I'm adult, I said, wow, I was kind of crying back then because I couldn't spend the night over which kind of house, and I didn't even know all this stuff was happening. And sometimes we look at God as the killjoy, like, you trying to stop this? No, God is trying to love your life. If he brings correction, it's for love. Not because he's trying to cut nothing, but if he cuts something from your life, it's so something can grow.
Amen.
I was talking to a gardener the other day, and he was cutting. I'm like, why are you cutting all this? He said, because these are dead things that we got to get off the shrubs, and life has to come out of here. And the sap and all this other stuff is killing this tree, and we have to cut it off. So if God cuts something off out of your life, it's so that life can come forth.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to hear that, amen.
Amen.
Because like I said, we don't really believe sometimes all things work together. We lean on our own understanding. God, I don't even want this thing to happen. Hey, just keep looking at the truth. And the light will shine the darkness out. You ain't got to be on darkness control. Come on. You know, I remember this one lady was hitting on me and my friend, and he was like, see, Wendell, man, see all this temptation around here? I said, come on, man. Ain't no test. He said, look, she hitting on the thing. Look, she put it all in her face, man. I said, watch this, bro. She came back to the table. She said, what y'all talking about now? I said, man, we talk about how Jesus been so good to us. Ain't he good? Gotta go. Listen, man. If you start talking about Jesus, either they're going to cling to you or they're going to run. You start forgiving everybody. You know, I forgive people that are Chinese, you know, my Caucasian brothers, my I got Vietnamese brothers that bring me spring rolls in the morning. I got all type of brothers. I got people that don't like me because I like everybody. I love everybody. I don't care what color you are. You my brother. You in Christ, you my brother. And some people make a stand against me for that. I don't care. Because I know who Jesus is. Come on, man. So God has placed love above every other law. If you are looking at every law without looking through the eyes of love and through the cross, you will look at it crookedly. Because look at what 1 Corinthians 13 says. If I speak in tongues, do you speak in tongues, brother? If I speak in tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. Don't tell me about all the stuff that you know. Do you know love? Then speak in the spirit, amen. Because you ain't got the spirit if you ain't know love first. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all of the knowledge. Wow, all the knowledge? And if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. This is the one that kind of threw me off right here. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to a hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. There's going to be people just trying to come in that day through their flesh. Actually, the Bible says that I've done this in your name. I've done this in your name. And Jesus is going to say, you never knew me. What do you mean? Wow. You never knew love. Yeah. You knew the gifts, but you did not know the giver.
Ooh, say it.
You fall in love with the giver. You ain't got to worry about no gifts.
Yeah. That's it.
You ain't got to worry about that. Because your Father will give you gifts that you weren't even looking for. What you looking for? What you looking for? Hey. God will give you so many things that you wouldn't even ask him for. Because we're so, you know, I'm going on my like 9th or 10th wedding. And me and Keisha used to watch this show called Bridezilla or whatever. And on this show, I'm looking like, oh my God. God have devalued your life. Because of one day. Mm. One day, you have acted a fool. Mm. Because of one day. Mm. One rose petal was out of place, and everybody is, oh my God, what are we going to do? I'm like, Jesus. Even when we do it, it's like, okay, if something go wrong, okay. But you know, I never hear people say, how did the counseling session go with the two of them? I'm not a bet man, but I will put money on it that people invest more in that day they're into their relationship they're going to spend for the next 50 years. Nobody asks me about these things that actually hold the marriage, but they're so concerned about these details that I'll be like, man, give me a break. I get in the counseling session, I see the real stuff. And that's what I'm hitting on. What's going to make it last? What's going to make it not survive, but just thrive? Not just make good roommates, but make two lovers. And then this correlates this, our relationship with God. Keisha sent me something. Hold on, I got to read this, babe. Because that blessed my heart the other day when you said this. And I gotta let the world know.
Oh, that quote.
Oh, yeah, the quote that you said.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't my quote.
She said, I want a marriage more beautiful than my wedding. Yeah. Then she said, thinking about how blessed I am with Wendell. I said, oh, man. Thank God. I wanted to leave work that day. And pick her up, you know what I mean? But I think about how the correlation of this marriage is supposed to represent this. I want a life. Come on now. Are y'all ready for this? I want a life where I'm looking at God more than I'm looking at this life. I'm more in love with Him, my Father. He is the husband. We are the bride. Because guess what? He's the one that gives me identity, not this world. I always say this, but I'm going to say it again. I want the goose, not the golden egg. He is the lover of your soul. Live long enough, you'll see. Even if people want to help you, people are not omnipresent. He's always there.
Okay.
So, I made up my mind that I would never be a materialistic person as a Christian life. I would always be seeking God's heart first before materials. And materials come like crazy, but I'm not after that. I'm after Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
This is my last one. I think it's there you go. Luke 12, 6. Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. I'm going to say that again. Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies, yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The reason why I read that, not just because we're going to do this dedication today, but I want you to have an understanding of something. Faith, all this stuff won't work unless you know this one thing, that you are valuable in God's eyes. Once you get that, then this becomes your playground, not your war ground. Jesus went to war for you. Was you there at Gettysburg? No. But are you living the effects of Gettysburg? Yes. Were you there when Jesus died? What the Bible did say, when he died, we died. But when we believe that, guess what? The fruits of it becomes our reality. Barnabas was a murderer, a killer. And the Bible says when Barnabas was leaving, Jesus was coming at the cross. Barnabas also means the son of man. That means that man was Barabbas, I'm sorry. Barabbas was leaving. That was us. Jesus was going to take our death. The exchange happened. Urban knows that blows my mind every single time. We will spend the rest of our life searching and understanding this love. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we may have to sow for other things in life. Like, you know, other stuff, like when we want the man we sold for. But you'll never be able to sow for your righteousness. Because Jesus sold for that. Jesus is the only one that was able to be the complete seed to be able to die. So you can get the fruits of righteousness. What do you have to do? Just believe in it. And it's yours. Now, if I want some corn, I got to take a seed, and I got to plant that. That's just the basic thing. But for righteousness, Jesus set us free. And that's the reason why we have to have. We get to have liberty, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. I can go to sleep at night knowing I'm going to heaven if I pass away. Amen? Why? Because He paid it all. Now we have this practical life, right? And it even correlates that because I understand how the process works. So if I want something, I sow it. If you have, and this is what I trip off of. If you have 10 seeds, and somebody says, if you plant these 10 seeds, And these are the only 10 seeds you got on the earth. And you in the desert somewhere. I don't know. And if you plant these 10 seeds, then you'll be able to eat forever off these seeds. But you gotta wait 30 days for these seeds to come up. But you can eat the seeds now and live for the next 40 days. What are you gonna do? People are eating their seeds. If what you got is not enough for your harvest, then it's seed. Energy, time, finance, those are seeds. So if I ain't got, you know what? I need to go practical because I just hit the spiritual level about righteousness. But on the practical level, I sold into this one church for 3 years as an assistant pastor. Then I sold it to another church for another 3 years, assistant pastor. Then God said, from that came the fruit. I'm giving you your own church, one. But it happened from sowing seeds in the past. This is a basic thing. Christ sold for our righteousness. That's even more powerful. But if we want something in life, sow for it. Fear comes because that thing is going to die. Yeah, it's going to die. It has to die so it can bring forth fruit. I'll talk to my brother. He'll give a testimony later, but I always talk to a person before I put you on Front Street. Okay? But he was saying how there's so many things breaking forth out of my brother Jacob's life. Is it true, brother? And it all comes from him sowing. And he had, I guess he wasn't sowing at first, but he just started sowing. He let that fear go. And he got so many jobs, going back to college, all this stuff. It just happens now. And it just didn't happen. You know, if somebody get pregnant, oh man, my cousin Andrew had a baby. Oh man, this is a miracle. It was a miracle. It's a natural effect. He sowed and he reaped it. Amen. That's the same thing in life. When you sow, you will reap. But when you see Jesus sow for you, you reap the benefit of it. Of peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Well, I know everybody in here is a believer. Amen. And right now, we're going to go into something special. I know Monashe is not here. Oh, we're going to do communion first? Okay. We're going to go to communion, then we're going to... Actually, can we do the kids' dedication before? Okay. I want to do the kids' dedication. I know we're gonna actually pray for Monashe Davis. Can we do that while she's awake? Because I know she went to Chicago this weekend. It was kind of a, you know...
To see her family.
And a lot of people seeing their family today, amen. But we're going to pray for her from afar, amen. You know, the centurion soldier... If you ever read that scripture, you have the understanding that God has no limits. Just like in our mind, oh my gosh, she's not here. Guess what? We can pray from afar. Do you believe that? It would dim the lights of heaven if we pray from here to Chicago. Our phones can reach it, so I know God can. Come on, man. So we're going to pray for them, and we're also going to pray for Don's grandchildren. We're going to bring them up. We got certificates for you. And why do we have certificates? So this can be something rememberable. You know, just like we said, when you give your finances, that finances double, increase, and quality, quantity, whatever. The same thing. We want to give the children over to God at their young age. You ain't got to wait till you're 8 years old and, okay, I'm surrendering God. No. We're giving to them now. They will bring their first kids to the God in the Bible. They will bring their first fruits to represent, no. This is under God's authority. Amen. Amen. So we'll start with the